Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, Lord of my heart,
No. Our Father, which art in heaven, holy is thy name. O Father, we come before thee, before thy holy throne. We come to thank you and praise you for your holy name. Father, forgive us our sins. And Lord, in place in our heart, your righteousness. O Father, as the song says, create in us, Father, a clean heart and renew the right spirit within us. O Father, blessed be the name of the Lord because he is good. Heavenly Father, we lift up this prayer line to you and we give you thanks, Father, for the years that you have provided. Lord, you provide the means. You provided everything that, and even the brothers and sisters. Lord, it's no one but you to touch their heart, to come, to share, come to testify a song and to give thanks to you. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight, Lord Father, for being able to get on this prayer line once again. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Sabbath day. We thank you for the long week, Lord, of time of preparing and doing the things that we need to do. Oh, thank you, Heavenly Father, for the blessing of the Word of God. Thank you for the roof over our head. We thank you, Father, for the Word of God, for all that you have given to your people. Heavenly Father, we pray, Father, for those that that come on the prayer line tonight may share and testify of your goodness. Oh, thank you, Lord. What a blessing to be here on this evening, and that we can give praise and we can give honor to our Father and our Savior. And Lord, as the Holy Spirit, Lord, lead and guide us tonight. We ask him for wisdom. We ask him for knowledge. Please send your Holy Spirit up on this prayer line that we may understand what God has prepared for man and that he may accept his word, his commandment, his righteousness, his law, all in his heart. You say rent your clothes and not, and but rent your clothes, not your heart, but clean, let that heart be pure so God can work with it. He said that he would give us a heart of flesh, and the heart of flesh, not that stony heart, that's hard to, even though we know God is able, he can break up anything. But Father, he gives us that heart of flesh that he can work with it and help us to turn from our wicked ways. Thank you, Father, for all these blessings. Thank you once again for the prayer line. And thank you for our sisters and brothers that we will worship and honor you together. Because you say, united we stand and divided we fall. So, Father, help us to stand united in loving the brother and sister, because there won't be no hate. There won't be no anger. There won't be nothing up there in heaven but peace and love, and that we should abide in. Thank you, Father. In the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, brothers and sisters. I will begin to read in Proverbs. I will read the first part in Proverbs until our brothers and sisters come on. But Brother Rick will read Proverbs verses 16 through verses 23. But I would like to read, because we don't have many on, I would like to read starting at the beginning of Proverbs. You know, as I was studying this, brothers and sisters, we have that the Bible has everything in it to understand. But you know one thing? As I've been looking into this, every day God gives us a better understanding of his word. And I want to share that when we look at these verses and see these verses talk with us, they are speaking to us to get our heart right, to get ourselves in line. Don't you know we are serving a merciful God, a God that truly been long-suffering and patient with us. Oh, Father, have mercy. Oh, Father, we just pray for all your people, your children, Father, to turn from their wicked ways and hear the voice of God, and that he may bless. He said he would bless us, brothers and sisters. He said he loved us with an everlasting love. So by his grace, let us come together, love, honor, and be united in Christ Jesus. I thank you all so much for having the patience, coming to the prayer line. We praying for one another. Oh, thank you, Father, for doing this for us. Now, we're going to, as we have offered the prayer, we're going to lift the prayer up, because I can't remember if I asked the Lord to lead and guide us in his word. Father, as we read your word, Father, we know that this word is holy. This word is perfect, because Christ has given it to us that we may live by it. So lead and guide us in your word. And Lord, as we study and as we read in, Father, give us understanding. And you say when you get understanding, when we get knowledge, let us get understanding. So Heavenly Father, thank you. In your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'll begin with Proverbs chapter 6, verses 1 through verse 15. And Brother Rick going to read verses 15. So let's begin. My son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, thou art snare with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Do this now, my son, and deliver thyself when thy art comes into the hand of thy friend. Go humble thyself and make sure thy friend get not sleep. Excuse me, let me go back. Give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thy eyelid. Deliver thyself as a roe for the hand of the hunter, and as a bird from the hand of the fowl. Go to the ant, thou slugger, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guile, overseer, ruler, provide her meat in the summer, and gather her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O slugger? When wilt thou arise out of sleep? Yet a little sleep and a little slumber, a little folding of the hand to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travails, and thy want as an armed man. A nasty person, a wicked man, walk with a forward mouth. He winketh with his eyes, and he speak with his feet. He teacheth with his fingers. Forwardness is in his heart. Trying to get back to. He devises mischief continually. He sowed discord. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. Amen. So, brothers and sisters, Brother Rick going to read from 16 through 23. Amen. And I will open Brother Rick's line. And I want to say good evening, my brothers and sisters. May God bless and keep us this evening, as we have already prayed. And Brother Rick, I will open your line that you could read Proverbs 16 through 23. Amen.
Amen, sister. What chapter are you in?
Proverbs chapter 6. I was hoping you could hear me because someone started ringing my phone.
Okay, Proverbs chapter 6. Okay, I was on chapter 1 because I did not hear the 6, but I will have that momentarily here.
Chapter 6, verses 16 through 23.
Yes. Okay, 16 through 23. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy.
Brother Rick.
Yes.
You got Proverbs
yes.
chapter 6 and verse 16.
16.
16.
These six things the Lord hate. Yes, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brothers. My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou wakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. How far did you want me to go, sister?
Amen. Amen. You can stop there. Amen.
Okay.
Amen. I just want to thank Brother Rick for reading that, brothers and sisters, because as I was reading this this morning, I was praying, Lord, this is my prayer, to keep me in order, that those six things the Lord hates, and the seventh is abomination. You know, whether I did it or not, but I'm sure somewhere down the line I have sowed discord among brothers. So, you know, I ask God to forgive me once again, because, brothers and sisters, we have come to one of those six or seven we have done. So, you know what? I ask the Lord, forgive me for these things. And these things we should remind each other, because you know what the Bible says, that we should remind each other of the scriptures, or a scripture that I may not hear that often, that you may hear and remind me of, about sowing discord among the brethren, or one of the other scriptures, you know. And these things, the Lord say, do this because your brother, that could keep them out of the kingdom of heaven. And if you do it, you are saving your brother from hell. So I just praise God for this. So, Brother Rick, do you have anything you want to share about that? Your line is still open.
Yes, yes. Okay, sister. Yes, sister, you know, discord is being sowed amongst the brothers and sisters all the time, and, you know, the enemy is always on the prowl, as Peter says, you know, that your enemy, the devil, is seeking, you know, run around as a prowling lion, seeking to whom he may devour. And he is really working hard at this point, sister. And, it's happening in my family right now, sister, and I am just very saddened by it. But you know what? God is good. I'm praying for wisdom and for his words and not my words. I was, as we were reading, you know, the Lord hates lying lips. He hates people that sow discord. He hates so many things. And, you know, we have to be careful that we don't get caught up in that ourselves, because when somebody attacks us, our immediate reaction is to strike back at them, and that is not God's way. You know, He gives us a new and better way, sister, and, you know, I praise him for that. It is hard to get into that mindset, but once he takes control, we can get into that mindset and say, you know what, I'm not going to fall for the wiles of the enemy and fall into his trap. So I'm just grateful to him that, you know, he gives us his wisdom, sister, as time goes on, as I get older, I realize how much I don't know. You know, when we're young, we think we know it all. And the older I get, the more I realize I don't know. So I am asking God each day for wisdom to counter the wiles of the enemy, and not to think that the people that he may be using are the problem. It's the enemy that's the problem, and we just have to keep that in mind and not get upset with the people. Just bring it to the Lord. And I love the song, "Take It to the Lord in Prayer," and I'm having to do that a lot more these days, because Satan is working mightily amongst all of us, our families, you know, and our church families, all over, sister. And I am just grateful that he is there for me to come to each moment. He's there for each one of us. So if each one of us came to him all at the same time, he could answer all of us at the same time, sister. And that's because he is God. He is mighty. He is wonderful. He is merciful and gracious and, you know, worthy to be praised, as Brother Eli always says. It makes me smile when Brother Eli comes on. And I'm just grateful for that. And I just want to lift up Michael in prayer, Kevin in prayer. Lift up Ashley, my daughter. And then I have another daughter, Anita, who is Ashley's younger sister. And he's getting married here in September. And he is having some problems right now. I don't know what they are. She won't tell me, but I just want to lift her up in prayer also. And just grateful to be on the prayer line, sister. And thank you for hosting tonight. Really appreciate your hard work and your efforts in doing that. So thank you very much.
Amen. Amen. And Brother Rick, as you were saying, how family, and, you know, all these things that happen. But what Jesus told us, he said he comes to separate. He said, because if you love the Lord, if whomever loved the Lord, come on the Lord's side, he said. And if your family members are not on the Lord's side, that's going to separate us. And it does hurt. It saddens us to know that our closest family, my mother, my sister, and my brother, whom we have been raised up with, Brother Rick. Some of us been so close to our brothers and sisters, to our mothers. And talking about separating, that is hard. That's hard.
Amen, sister.
And,
you know,
some people going to be lost because we can't do it.
Yeah, that's the deciding factor. As I was thinking about my relationship with my children, those who are seeking the Lord, who are going to church and continue to, seek him, we get along very well. And those, my two daughters who don't, they're always stirring up something and blaming somebody for something and just not wanting to get together as a family, but trying to separate the family.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it hurts when that happens, sister. But
does.
We know that God is our refuge in time of trouble. So, you know, I'm relying on him. And as much as it hurts, we will continue on and do his will. If we do his will, he will save us. And that's
yes.
What more do we need, sister? What more do we need?
That's it. And what more can you do? All you can do is step back and don't get between the two trying to cause that discord with one another. You step back, and because if you go on one side, well, that one's going to be angry with you. You go on the other side, you know, so you having both angry with you for some reason, because they're your children. You don't take sides. You leave it alone, leave it to them. But I tell you, you know what? We are having that in every family. Every family.
Yes.
And most of the time, we just have to step back and give it to God.
Amen,
because,
sister.
You
thank
know.
You. That is good.
Yes.
That is the advice that we all need to be giving each other. And Yeah, you know what? I've tried for years, and for years it has failed. And I said, I am giving it to God because my best efforts have failed miserably. And, you know, as long as somebody's not seeking the Lord, they have no true wisdom, as we know. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So if they don't fear the Lord, they have zero wisdom, okay? And I am just looking for that true wisdom, the true wisdom that God brings, because without that, sister, we will be lost, and what a terrible, terrible thing that would be, because God has made provision for every one of us, every one of us. So let us let us continue on strengthening each other and giving it to the Lord, and, you know, He will save us from ourselves and from the enemy. And as we know, we are our worst enemy. You know, we have Satan, who was going around as a roaring lion, but he can't do anything to us unless we submit to him. So let us not submit to him. Let us submit unto the Lord, and he will save us from ourselves and from our sins and from the devil. So I'm just encouraged tonight, sister, that, you know, God is going to take all these things. He's going to make them right in his time. I wish it was right now, but it's not yet. So when he's ready, he will make it right.
Amen. And let me read this for you, Brother Rick. You know, Proverbs give you so many words of wisdom. And I look at verse 7. And verse 7, 1, 2, and 3. It tells you, my son, keep my word and lay up my commandments with thee. Because he said, keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye, but bind them upon thy fingers. Write them upon the table of thine heart. God is talking to us. This commandment is that we have to love one another. We cannot be fighting and feeling, because you know what the Bible says when you're fighting and feeling? He said, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Because when the sun went down on your wrath, you know what? You are in sin. And then your heart began to get more proud and puffed up, and you don't want to forgive. So you have a problem then. And then verse 13 says, fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the forward mouth, he said he hates that. And he says, counsel is mine, sound wisdom. I am understanding and I have strength. He said, by me, prince rule and noble, even all the judges of the earth. He said, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. So God is telling us to do these things, and we will be blessed. So as I see some others don't press one. So I'm grateful to know that all these years I've been on the prayer line, I have been loved of Sister Carla, Brother O'Neill, Sister Power, you, Brother Rick. I have been loved of my brothers. You all care about Sister Leola, and Sister Leola care about you guys. You know, Brother Rick, if there was no love between us, we would not be here on this prayer line always together. So the greatest thing of this prayer line is that we have been united. And the Bible says when we are united, he says, we're going to stand still. We're able to hold this line together by God's grace. So I want to thank you, Brother Rick. I want to thank you for the work that you do, and for the personal things you do, and for the provision. I mean, everything, prayers, everything, my brother, for what you have provided on this prayer line through monetary, through everything. So even fixing up the camp meeting, bringing all the chairs, you have put in much work, and God is good. and still on this prayer line, upholding everything.
Amen.
So thank you so much for your blessing, for God blessing you and strengthening you.
Yeah, you're
so,
welcome,
and make,
sister.
And, make, huh? And the Lord, and the Lord going to see you through. He sees you through.
Amen.
There's nothing that
yes.
we can do, but God blesses you. So thank you once again, and I'm going to go to the next caller. Thank you for reading, and I'm going to come back to you to open your line to give your prayer request. If you have a prayer
okay.
request
yes.
or if you can
yes.
pray, just offer a little prayer. Amen? All right.
Amen.
Thank you again, Brother Reed. All right. God bless. And brothers and sisters, thank you for being patient, and I will open the next line. Praise God. 631-522-552. I'm sorry. Your line is open.
Blessing good night, Sister Leola. Blessing good night, brothers and sisters. And at the light prayer line, this is Brother O'Neill calling from New York. It's really a privilege to be on the line tonight. I want to thank God for his grace and his mercy as we contemplate on the love of God. And as you are doing a study from the other day on the book Desire of Ages, and also the book Ministry of Healing, two wonderful book for this time that we're living in, and especially looking at the life of Jesus. And this morning we're looking at Ministry of Healing, and we were looking at the life of Christ, but a particular person came to mind when we were looking at the centurion there in Ministry of Healing. How his approach was when his servant became ill, and he wanted Jesus Christ to heal his servant. This centurion has been in contact with the ministry of the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees. He has also helped in many things with his generosity as a centurion. And a centurion there was a Roman soldier. So I read this text, and then I read a few lines from that chapter 4 there. I will read something from there after I share the scripture, because the scripture is very important, because we're living in a time and a day and age that we see so much going on in our world, and many of these leaders are doing things in the world and in the church, and especially those who are out of the church, and they're assisting the churches in many ways in spite of not being a member of the church. And God sees their effort, and he will help them. So it says in First Timothy chapter 2, it says, I read from verse 1 through 5, and it says, I exhort therefore that the first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks to be made for all men. So the Bible says we should exhort therefore that first of all supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks to be made of all men. In verse 2, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. Verse 4, very important text here, says, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. That is the purpose of the gospel. But for what? Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. That's why Christ was working for the salvation of men. That's why he said, I must work the work in John 9 verse 4. I must work the work while it is day, for the night cometh when no man shall work. So Christ was about the salvation of men, and that's what's supposed to be the work of his people. So it says here in Ministry of Healing, page 61.3 here. It says, a centurion servant was lying sick of palsy. Among the Romans, the servants were slaves, bought and sold in the marketplace, and often treated with abuse and cruelty. But the centurion was tenderly attached to his servant, and greatly desired his recovery. He believed that Jesus could heal him. This centurion is a Roman soldier, but he have faith in who? Jesus. Because he says he had not seen the Savior, heard, inspired in faith. So you see, when we share Jesus with others, and others see Christ in us, we are witnessing to them indirectly. So that is something very important, that the centurion was in touch with the people of God, even though he wasn't going to the he wasn't an avid worshiper going into the synagogue all the time. But hear this part at the bottom here, that he says, when the elders, in 63.2 here, the elders present the case to Jesus, urging that he was worthy for whom he should do this, for he loved our nation, and he had built us a synagogue. So the centurion built them what? A church, a place of worship, this because he was so in love with what they're doing, with this man that they were speaking about. But he had a knowledge, the Holy Spirit even speak to him. So we see what Christ said about the centurion. He have never to Jesus, just speak the word. He said, just speak the word. You don't have to come to my, because he knew he was talking to, even though he have not been in the presence of Jesus, but based on what he heard, that solidified his faith in Jesus. He said, just speak the word. You don't have to come. You can just speak the word, because I know you have power to do that. And then my servant shall be you. And Jesus said, you have never seen such faith, even in Israel, among his people. Even among his people. And during that time, Christ was in the midst of his work at that point. And he has said, you have not seen such, even the disciple that was walking with him, he have not seen that faith as he has seen in the centurion. So we see that, that's why I read this text in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. God interested in the salvation of men. He wants all men to be saved, not because of their lifestyle or their authority that they have. Christ is interested in their salvation, and that's the same work of his people. And that's why Christ was always an earnest worker. Thank you, Sister Leola, for opening up my life.
Amen, amen. Praise God. We're going to always, Christ, always be grateful to our Savior, Brother O'Neill, as the scripture says, how Christ want all men to be saved. But you know what? Men have to choose. They have a choice. And by God's grace, the ones that gonna make the choice is those that seek him or study his word. You know, we on this prayer line, you know, we serve him because we've been serving, and we've been on this prayer line for quite a few years. But still, you know what the Bible says, some gonna say, Lord, Lord, and been serving him for many years and still don't know him. But by God's grace, and I pray that I'm not one going to serve him for many years, and then I'm going to be lost. So, and that's our prayer, and that we be united and love and I want to thank Brother O'Neill for sending me some little scriptures. Sister Carla sent me some too. I get these little texts, and I look over and read them, and I say, well, praise God. But I didn't send you anything back, but I thank God for those encouraging words. So thank you once again, and thank you for sharing that message with us, Brother, that to lift up Jesus, because he is the one. He came to give us salvation, and all we got to do is take it freely. Amen. So thank you once again, Brother O'Neill, for sharing. I thought you was going to bring us some good news also, but we got others that press one in. I better open that line. So thank you, Brother O'Neill, and if we have time, I will open that line. Amen? So thank you once again. So brothers and sisters, we're going to open the next line, and that is 985-232. Your line is open, and you can give us your name and where you're calling from. Amen?
Good evening, sisters and brothers. This is Sister Brenda calling from Houma, Louisiana. I just want to thank God for coming on and sharing today. I just want to read a script. A Bible devotion. Dear God, I thank you that I can rejoice in all things because I know that what I go through in this body is miserably temporary. Every pain, every sickness, and every infirmity are just signs of the fleshly body weakness. But I am glad that a time is coming that this body will be done away with, and I and all your children will take one more glorious form. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. It will be done away with. We won't have no more pain, no more sickness. Thank you, Jesus. And I won't complain because, you know, things was worse. If some people are worse. And when I look around, you know, I said my phone just clicked. A child 9, a child a few months, a child a few days. Just cute, you know. Innocent babies, it's not time. Parents just letting them wander, letting them die in a heated car. Being on drugs. You know, it's just, I said, Lord, 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 we just pray for these children, pray. It's got people wanting kids. You could just knock on the door. Please take my child. Take them in for me. You know, or go bring them yourself. Tell them you're not able. But, Lord, I just don't know. I just want to cry, and I say, Lord, I know you got it. You don't make mistakes. But I know you will challenge his parents. So I just thank God for what it is. And I say, sometime I'd rather not have a phone. That's why I don't have cable TV, because I don't want to hear the news. But now they just flash it on the phone. But anyway, I thank God. And like my sister say, serving him. I serve him everywhere I can. And I've been serving him on Sundays 3 times. And during the week, I've been just doing my own search and find. I served 3 times. It was only so I can look it up and search for myself. I do, you know, the Bible work. And I thank God because I'm not capable of learning, but I let the Lord lead me, and he knows they search the scripture, what somebody's saying. I write it down, and I go read it, you know, and that's when I know that God is talking, because I read my King James Bible. So I thank God for that, that through Advent Light and my sister Leola and all my brothers and sisters on this prayer line for teaching me which direction to go. I have learned how to go look it up for myself. And the Lord teach me the rest. Thank God. So I just thank God for all of us today, and keep us in prayer. Keep that Advent Light family, our family in prayer. Sometimes I forget on my adventures, but I know Saturdays I don't leave this house. I look for the TV for the faith, and I behold, I'm starting to hold on to that day, and you know, and I say I got to do it, and I thank God He's giving it to me. So I
Amen.
Thank God, me and Brother John is holding on to that Sabbath. So I thank God. So and I say, oh Lord, we be faithful to that Sabbath. Thank you, Jesus. So I thank God for that, and thank God my brothers and sisters on this line praying for us, keep us in prayer that we continue doing God's will, and that we can continue coming in. And I thank God for us staying in what we've been already passed, and we're winding down some more. So God is good. Thank God. So I'm going to turn it over to Brother John and just lift us all up in prayer, even the sick. Amen.
Yeah, I tell you, this is Brother John from Houma, Louisiana. I just want to thank God for many blessings. And I was thinking just a while ago just some blessings and things like that. And how far a lot of us have come, and a lot farther keep it going with learning and things like that, and reading up on the Word, and just doing Bible studies and stuff, and just staying on top of things. That's what I've been doing, trying to try my best to just keep on keep it moving and keep it learning and teaching and guiding and things like that on the Word. And I just want to say that, like I say, it's just it still amazes me the things I've been learning. All the time I'll be learning about the Word of God and changing my bad ways in the past and doing better and stuff like that. It just continue to grow. I just love doing it. You know, I love growing into the Word. And I just want to stay in the Word forever. You know. So God bless. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Brenda. Thank you, Brother John and Sister Brenda, for coming on and sharing. And as you heard Brother O'Neill just read, who will have all men to be saved? Listen to that good. Who will have all men to be saved? He said, and come unto the knowledge of truth. And in number 5 says it, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man. That man is Christ Jesus, who paid the price for us all. He did, by giving himself a sacrifice. You know, we must be obedient to the Father. The Father called for obedience, and his Son is offering that prayer for us. He said he prayed for us, and he also have not lost one, his Father said. So if we going to be the one that Christ prays for, we got to stay faithful. And by God's grace, we got to pray, because we can't do it by ourselves. We must pray and ask the Father to give us strength in the name of Jesus. Because he is
Amen.
Able. Amen. Thank you, Sister Brenda and Brother John. Now we're going to go to the next caller so we can make sure we open the line for everyone. Brothers and sisters, Brother Akeem will be on at 7:30. And we ask that you please press 1 because you will we will be able to open your line. I'm going to open Brother Rick's line again because I don't know if I told him I will open his line that he can share again. Brother Rick, your line is open if you'd like to share, or if you want to wait later, it's still okay. Amen? You'd like to share now?
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Leola, for opening my line. And, I just, praising the Lord, I heard Sister Brenda and Brother John coming on and reading and testifying, and that's just a wonderful thing. It's only from the Lord, Sister. And I remember when they first started coming on and they were baptized, and that was just, I just love to hear them come on and hear their testimonies. And, had a couple of prayer requests, Sister. That was Kevin and Michael. They both have cancer. And my daughter Ashley and my daughter Anita, as well as the rest of my family. My wife is still having some major problems with her heart. So I'd like to lift her up in prayer. And, I've been so blessed, Sister, over the years. God has been so good to me, and I don't deserve it. But I am very grateful to him because he is good to us even when we don't deserve it, Sister. If he wasn't, none of us would be here. But I just praise him for that. And I don't want to take up too much time because I want to make sure we have time for all the other brothers and sisters. So I will just leave it at that, and I can pray later, Sister, or we can pray now. It's up to you.
Okay. Can you give me the name of the one that has cancer?
Yes, Michael, and then there's Kevin. Michael is in Maine, and we saw him two Sabbaths ago, not this past Sabbath, but the Sabbath before. My nephew and I went to visit him, and he is fighting cancer, and he is doing it God's way, though, Sister, which I really encourage. He is using Mammon Wilson's protocol for cancer. But he says cancer, he told me cancer is a very painful disease, and so he's in a lot of pain. And he looked quite good for, having cancer as bad as he does. And then we also have Kevin, who goes to our church here in Kingsbury, and he has cancer also. So I'd just like to lift up both of those.
Mercy. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, and Brother Rick, I cut a peach or an apple or pear, and I look in that apple or that pear, in that fruit, anything that done rotten, that's the same as cancer, as something part of your body been attacked with cancer. That means there's a sore, and that sore is not being healed. And that part is a little agitated. Any part of your body that has a sore or some sort of bore, it will be very painful. And if your inside organs, has that, that could be really painful because it has a something, and in the brain it tells you you have pain there. And so, yes, I know that can be painful because it takes that to the brain, and it's telling you it has a bobo there, and that bobo is just – and sometimes it can be – you remember the people used to get those bars? Those bars just usually be a little small bar on you, and that thing go through the whole body. It is so painful. People have to go to the doctor to get shots to get rid of that thing. So I can't imagine what these young men, what these guys are going through with cancer, because sometimes that thing can spread, and that can be really bad. So we're going to lift them up in prayer.
Amen.
And I'm going to ask if Brother O'Neill can give a prayer for them at this moment. Ask for Brother O'Neill. Let me see if he's available. Let's let us ask. Let's see if Brother O'Neill, Brother Rick, and I can call on you to pray for someone else.
Amen.
Brother O'Neill, are you available to offer a prayer for Brother Rick?
Yes, Sister Leola.
Okay, we appreciate it. Did you hear the request, Brother Michael and Kevin?
Yeah.
You can offer a prayer for those two, and I'll probably offer the prayer for his family, for his daughter, his wife. But this need a special prayer, Michael and Kevin. And let us all be in prayer for those two, because the Bible says more prayer, more power if we be in prayer together. Let us all be in prayer with Brother O'Neill. Amen? Okay, Brother O'Neill, your line is open.
Let us pray. Eternal God and our Father, we pause once more to acknowledge your sovereign of this entire universe. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we come, recognizing who you are, a mighty God, wonderful counselor, the Prince of Peace, the work of Christ that you've done on earth just to be of service to all men. And you spend often time, even as a man on earth, in prayer, because you are always seeking God for divine wisdom for the task you are about to do. We are seeking you, O God, because that's the avenue of communication with you, is through prayer. God, as I come, O Lord, is there anything in me that is unlike you? Anything, Lord? I ask you to remove it, O God, that this fire will go up to you as sweet incense.
Go on.
Lord, we present Michael and Kevin to you, O God. Your situation, you are aware of it, O God. And we know that you had a ministry of healing while you are on earth. And even in heaven, you're still capable of applying that same healing touch to any sickness. Lord, we pray according to your will, O God, not according to our will. But we ask for mercy, O God. We ask for healing, O Lord, so that your name will be glorified. We see after you left the wilderness of temptation victorious, you went into the villages and do a mighty healing work and heal all manner of diseases. We know that with you, Jesus, there's nothing hard for you to do. We know the doctors may give up on the situation, but you, O Lord, you never give up on any situation. You grant healing and restoration of mind, body, and spirit. And that is what we are praying for, Lord. Not just for physical healing, O God, but for mental and spiritual healing, Lord.
Yes.
So that they can see you in all the suffering that they're going through, that they're still a God.
Mm-hmm.
We see the pain, the affliction that Job went through in his time of illness. And even his wife saw the scars all over his body and the suffering that he was going through, and tell him that he should ask God to take his life. But Job said that he would not do such a thing. He said, though he slay me, yet I trust him. Help them, Lord, in spite of the suffering they are going through and this sickness, Lord.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
We know, Lord, that Satan is the destroyer, but you are the healer.
Mm.
We know that you're sympathized with what they're going through, oh God.
Yes.
And we know that you can bring them restoration, Lord. Pray for the rest of your family members, oh God. As they see them going through this suffering, help them to speak words of counsel, of encouragement, and not words of doubt, but words of encouragement, and also prayer seeking you, always. Not just them alone, Lord, we are praying for at this time. Many among your people are suffering the same condition of cancer. This has become prominent among your people. And Father, we pray, Lord, that you'll help your people, O Lord, and heal them from all these maladies, O Lord. Give us faith, Lord, to trust and believe and know that you have begun that work. And Lord, we claim the victory in the mighty name of Jesus. Bless each and everyone on this line. Whatsoever fail of acting, fail of not granting. Thank you, Lord, for hearing and answering our prayers. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother O'Neill, for offering the prayer for the brethren. So let me offer the prayer for Brother Rick and his wife and his children. Our Father, as we continue in prayer, Father, we're lifting up Brother Rick's family. Father, you know all about them, and you know all about your son, Father. Father, he called upon the Most High right now, Father, to intervene for him, Lord, to help his daughters, help them, Lord, to lead and guide them, Father, to teach them and to give them wisdom. Heavenly Father, we ask in the name of Jesus, Lord, please touch their heart, their mind, Father, that they must come together and love one another and actually to understand the word of God. God has given his word to us that we may know him and that we may turn from our evil ways, Lord. Oh, Father, help us and strengthen us, Lord. Lord, lead us to that everlasting love that you are waiting patiently for us. So, Lord, help Sister Ashley, Father. Lord, Father, she know you, Lord, Father. It's just that sometimes the youth, Lord, Father, and the enemy tends to know that her parent, that Brother Rick, is praying, and that Brother Rick has the love for his daughter, that Brother Rick understands what Satan has done to Job. He understands that what he done to Christ Jesus, and he understands what he's doing to his family. Father, help him right now, Lord. I know the struggle he's going through, Father. So, Lord, help him and strengthen him, Lord. Lord, Father, we know what Jesus has told us. He said, hold on a little while longer, and I will be with you. I will come, and I will be the one to solve this problem. Father, thank you, Father, for sending your only begotten son, knowing that we have something to believe and trust in and understand, that we have a Savior that paid it all. Oh, Father, thank you right now. Father, I lift up his wife to you, Father. Lord, I'm asking you to touch her body. And, Lord, Father, we do know that Satan come to steal and kill, to rob, and to take it all from us, Lord. But, Lord, you said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding in all thy ways. Acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Heavenly Father, we thank you right now for this prayer line, that we can come together, Father, on the prayer line and worship you and call upon the Most High, because he the only one know our in and out. He know us all. He know all about us. Father, thank you for answering prayers. Thank you, Father, for helping us day by day and leading and guiding us and keeping us. Thank you, Father, for giving Brother Rick that strength that he needs, Lord Father, when he going through with something that the devil trying to send him through with his children and Father, and even causing his wife to get sick. Oh, Father, have mercy on all of us, Lord, because the enemy is trying to get us to fall to his temptation. But, Lord, we say stand up, stand up. Though you may fall many times, but you say stand up and be strong in the Lord, and he shall be your help. He shall be your refuge. He shall be your strength. So, Father, thank you. Thank you for the blessing that you have given to us. Now, Lord, we ask that you strengthen Brother Rick and lead and guide him. Keep him, Lord, Father, and let him be the strength of his family. And, Lord, to change hearts and to change them and turn them to Jesus Christ, and that they may know him and understand what he has done for them. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love and kindness that you show to us. Now, bless us here on the prayer line, Lord, each and every one of us. Bless Brother O'Neill, Lord, Father, and his ministry. Bless him, Father, his children, Father. Lord, bless him, Lord, Father. Bless his business, Father. Oh, Father, we asking you to bless each and every one of our sisters and brothers, because we know there's a short time. Christ says he's coming back, and we have to be ready to receive him. So, Lord, as you bless him and as you strengthen us, Lord, keep us strong and help us to look to Jesus. And, Lord, Father, I'm asking you to bless him for Sister Carla, Lord, Father. Strengthen her in every area, Father, where she needs, Lord. Father, she needs help on her land, Lord, Father. If no one can do that by themselves. Lord, I'm asking you to bless her, strengthen her, and send help, Lord. Father, you know that your daughter loves you and do your will. So, Lord, guide her and lead her, Father. And now, Lord, we lift up Sister Brenda and Brother John to you, Father, to bless them and keep them and help them, Father, and acknowledge the fact that they say they are keeping your Sabbath now, Lord. Father, I know that they hadn't been long in it, Lord, Father, and I know you are patient and long-suffering with your children. So, Lord, as you working it out with them and as they obedient to part and to get things together, Father, I'm asking you to give them the strength. I'm asking you to be with them, Lord, and keep them. And, Lord, as they learn, Lord, Father, let them be the light for their children, because that's how things start turning around when we are the light for the world. So, Heavenly Father, we also lift up Sister Power on the prayer line and her family, Father. We lift up everyone on this prayer line, Sister Tamika, Father, her children, Father, mother, all the sisters and brothers. We lift up my friend Clarissa on this prayer line, Father, whom you have brought and given, want to give understanding of your status and more truth to Father. I lift up to you, Lord. May she be blessed on the prayer line tonight. Lord, may Brother Eli be blessed on this prayer line, praying for his mother, his sisters, all his family, Father. Oh, Lord, I lift up my family to you, Lord. Oh, thank you. And I thank you for the rain. I thank you for the thunder, Lord. You let us know that God in heaven, he is the God of this world, and he has control over everything. He keeps the flood from happening. He keeps everything in order. He keeps the fire from over burning the whole world. He keeps everything. He keeps the four corners of the earth in place. So thank you, Father. Now, Lord, we ask you to send your Holy Spirit upon this prayer line to help us and strengthen us, lead and guide us, and protecting us, Father. Oh, we thank you. We give you praise, Lord. If I have left anyone out, Lord, as we lift up Brother Akeem, Brother O'Neill, Brother O'Neill, Brother Udy, Brother Bernard. We lift all our brothers and sisters. Lord, Father, my memory, don't always come to pass. But, Lord Father, I'm asking you to lift up all those that come on this prayer line. I can't remember every name, but, Lord, you know the name. So please be with us. And we thank you, Father, for this prayer line. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen. Amen, sisters and brothers. Now, we're going to open the line for Brother Eli. And Brother Eli, if you can make it short, we got quite a few that want to share. Amen. Brother Eli, your line is open.
Amen. Amen. Hello, Sister Miola. Hello, brothers and sisters, Advent Light Ministry. My name is Brother Eli. I'm calling from Boston, Massachusetts. I'd like to thank God for his love, for his mercy, Sister Miola. I have a prayer request, Sister Miola. My prayer request is continue to lift up my mom in prayer. Continue to lift me up in prayer, Sister Miola. And Sister Miola, please do not forget to lift up Brother Javel in prayer, that the Lord will change them, that the Lord would take of the evil spirit out of him, Sister Miola, because Sister Miola is just like Sister Ashley, but I'm praying for Sister Ashley to Sister Miola. And Sister Miola, I don't know, can Brother Rick lift up Brother Javel in prayer, because Sister Miola, tell Brother Rick to lift up Brother Javel in prayer, J-A-V-E-L, because Sister Miola, the evil spirit is trying to the evil spirit is attacking him at the moment. So please lift him up in prayer. But let me sing a song, Sister Miola.
Brother Eli, we got to go to the next, because Brother King James will be on here in a few minutes. We're going to have you to sing the song tomorrow, okay? So we're going to thank you, brother. And we just want you to
thank
give your
you, Sister Miola, for opening my line.
Amen.
Thank you, Sister Miola.
You are welcome. Bye-bye. Okay, you can. And we're going to open the next line for 27277. Your line is open. You can give your name and where you're calling from. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for opening my line, Sister Miola. Thank you so much. My name is Sister Tiny Nico from Pennsylvania. I'm so grateful to be back from Florida and from New York, Long Island, visiting my mom and getting a chance to spend time with her, to visit with her. It's such a blessing, and also placing my books, The Safe Steps to Christ, with all the different new people that I met out there and I've seen and I spoke to them. It was such a blessing. And I just want to give the Lord all praise and honor and glory and adoration, because he's so worthy to be praised. I could do nothing without the Lord, and I'm so grateful. He's an awesome God, and I'm so grateful he takes good care of us. He gave me safe travel and mercy, so I just give him all praise and honor. And I just wanted to read a small verse in the Bible, if I may. Psalms chapter 100, verse 1 through 5, and it says, "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations." So I'm just so grateful, and I thank the Lord for these precious scriptures in the Bible. They give you so much hope, so much encouragement, to keep moving forward and to continue to keep serving the Lord and going out and taking your literature with you to win souls through Jesus. So it's such a blessing, and I just wanted to share that. And I have prayer requests. I thank you for lifting me up in prayer, Sister Leola. So I would like to lift up every person on this prayer line this evening, all my precious, beloved brothers and sisters, Brother Ray and his family and his daughter Ashley, Brother O'Neill and his family, Sister Powell and her precious children, Sister Stephanie and KJ and Kaja, you as well, Sister Leola, your husband, Brother Ray, and your precious Jews, Nicole and Jarvis, and Brother Eli and his mom. Continue to bless every single person on this line. I plead the blood of Jesus over every single person on this prayer line, and I love you all, and I thank you so much for opening my prayer line. So God bless you all. Have a blessed and beautiful evening. And please keep each and every one of us in prayer. God's blessings. Amen. Love you all. God bless. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Tamiko, for just sharing with us and even making a special prayer request. And we're going to open Brother Rick's line. And Brother Rick can give a short prayer. And I see Sister Carla is on here, but sometimes she may be busy. But let us open Brother Rick's line first, and he can give us a short prayer. And also, we're going to open Sister Carla. And then Brother Akeem will be on in 8 minutes. Amen? Brother Rick? Sorry. Brother Rick, your line is now open. If you can give us the prayer.
Yes, sister, can you hear me?
Yes, no? We can. Yes, I
okay,
can hear you.
Okay, thank you. Yes, well, my phone just said muted, so I just want to make sure you could hear. Okay, let's bow our heads, brothers and sisters, and we will lift up Brother Javel and others. Lord, we just come before you again, Lord. You are so gracious and kind to us, Lord. And, Father, as we present ourselves to you again, Lord, we come to you because of your graciousness and your great mercy, not because of anything that we have done. It's because of what you have done for us, Lord, that we are even able to seek you and find you, dear Lord. Father, tonight you've heard all the requests. You've heard Brother Eli wanting to lift up his mom, and especially Brother Jovell at this moment, Lord. The enemy is seeking to devour him, Lord. Evil spirits are surrounding him and trying to take him away from the right path, dear Lord. Father, at this moment, we do lift up Brother Jovell, Lord, that your spirit would surround him, that your holy angels would surround him like a hedge to keep the evil spirits away, Lord. We know that they would love to take him away, Lord. So please, Lord, we just know what is going on in his life, in his mind, in his heart, dear Lord. So just ask that you would guide him, that you would direct him, that you would protect him, that you would save him, dear Lord, and each one of us also, Father. Father, we are all capable of going to those dark places, Lord, but we don't want to, Lord. We are calling on your name to keep us hedged around, Lord, so that we will not go to that dark place. We will not allow the enemy to use us, dear Lord. Father, we thank you for Brother O'Neill and his testimony tonight, dear Lord. And Father, he has been your faithful servant for a long time, Lord. So we lift him up and his family, Lord. We lift up his ministry. We lift up him personally, Lord, that you would continue to bless him, guide him, protect him, Lord. Care for him in every way that that you can, Lord, that we know that you will. Lord, may Brother O'Neill be strengthened. May he be empowered in his ministry also, dear Father. And Father, I just want to lift up my daughter Ashley. And Lord, evil spirits are surrounding her, dear Lord. Father, you know. And I just lift her up to you, Lord. I give her to you, Lord, because I can do nothing. You are the God of all power, of all strength, of all might, Lord, of all healing. So we leave her in your hands, Lord. And also my daughter Anita, who is the enemy is using her to sow discord at the moment, Lord. I pray that your Holy Spirit would just touch her heart, Lord. She knows about you, Lord, but she has not given herself to you. So, Lord, I just pray that somehow you would reach her, that she would give her heart to you, Lord, and that this spirit of discord would vanish, Lord, as only your spirit can do that for her. And, Father, I think of Sister Leola's son, Jarvis, Lord, and she has given him over to you, dear Lord. And, Father, that is the only thing we can do in that situation. But, Lord, I know that her heart hurts for him. So we just lift him up and pray, Lord, that you would touch him, Lord, that you would clear his mind of those drugs and those things that are keeping him where he's at, Lord. that he would get a glimpse of you and turn his life back to you, dear Lord, and be able to come onto this line with such a testimony that no one would even believe it, Lord, but we would believe it if it came from you. So guide us tonight, Lord, be with Brother Akeem, be with all of our brothers and sisters on the line. We just thank you for them, Sister Tamiko coming on, and all the other callers that are listening, those who are listening around the world, dear Lord. We just praise you and thank you for them. Guide them, Lord. Strengthen them. Bless them. Keep them, Father. Empower them to do your work. And myself also, Lord, I desire to do your work. Give me that opportunity, Lord, and the wisdom to know what to say, what not to say, Lord, when to say it, when not to say it. So guide us and bless us now. We thank you and we praise you, dear Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Brother Rick, for the prayer. And brothers and sisters, Brother O'Neill would like to give us a song. But let me open the line for Sister Carla right quick, just to see if she's available. Sister Carla?
Amen. Yes, amen.
Available?
Good evening. Yes, thank you for opening up my line. Yes, I had pressed one once, but I had took myself off because I thought the time was short. But I'm just praising the Lord and thanking him for his mercy, his tender mercies. I am back home. Well, back in my city, I'm about 15-20 minutes away from home, so I'm just saying hallelujah, praise the Lord. I've seen an accident. There was one also way ahead. The traffic was backed up, but the Lord kept me, and he's still keeping me. So I'm just praising him for his mercy, his love, and I just want to share part of my devotion. It's Christ Object Lesson, chapter 39. And it says, and this was talking about the 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish. But I dropped down to paragraph 2, and it says, without the Spirit of God, a knowledge of his word is of no avail. So we have to have the Spirit of God to understand his word. The theory of truth unaccompanied by the Holy Spirit cannot quicken the soul or sanctify the heart. One may be familiar with the command and promises of the Bible, but unless the Spirit of God sets the truth home, the character will not be transformed. Without the enlightenment of the Spirit, men will not be able to distinguish truth from error, and they will fall under the masterful temptation of the Holy Spirit. So, brothers and sisters, we see that we need this Holy Spirit to interpret the scripture right. We need the Holy Spirit, because Jesus has led him as a guide, a comforter, and a counselor unto us. So we need him to help us through this journey and to reveal things to us, what Christ has left for us. So praise the Lord. May the oil stay be in our lamps, that we not be without the oil in our lamps. We know that thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And the Holy Spirit is the oil that we need in the lamp so that we can be overcomer and we can be victorious. Amen. Thank you again.
Hey. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And thank you, Sister Carla, for sharing that with us, because we do need the Holy Spirit. Amen. God is so good, brothers and sisters. We want to thank the other countries. There's various other countries that here that listen to Advent Light Ministry, and we just want to thank the countries. I have the names, but I don't know all of them. I know one of them is Canada. I believe the Netherlands. We got quite a few countries, so we want to thank you all for coming and joining in and listening to Advent Light Ministry. Praising God that it is a blessing to you all. And we have a speaker that will be on later on, and he's going to bring prophecy. But Brother O'Neill will bring us a song. So let me open his line before the speaker come on. Brother O'Neill, your line is open.
Thank you, Sister Ayola.
Amen.
Very
amazing song from the hymnal 647, My Eyes Have Seen the Glory of the Lord. My eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out of Israel the grapes of wrath to store. He has loosed the fatal lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. He has sounded forth a trumpet that shall never call retreat. He is sifting out the heart of men before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. In the meekness of the living, Christ was born across the sea, with a glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. Has he died to make men holy? Let us lift the name and free, while God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. His truth is marching on.
Amen.
Amen, amen, brothers and sisters. Glory, hallelujah. And definitely his truth is marching on. So now what's going to march on is the word of God. So we open the line for Brother Akeem. He is here. Brother Akeem, your line is open. And you have the floor. Amen.
All right, amen, amen. Can you hear me?
Amen, we can hear you.
All right, praise the Lord. Well, as we go into our study today, we're going to be studying Revelation. We're studying Revelation chapter 13. This is something I've been digging a little bit into as it concerns Revelation chapter 13 and verses 5 and 6. And the repetition of this that has happened in every single phase of the sanctuary service. And so we're going to look at this evening as we continue. But let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, illuminate our minds and draw us ever closer to you. Give us wisdom as we seek to understand your word. And Lord, help us to live in harmony with that word. I pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right. So we are in Revelation chapter 13. And this is what it says there, and remember, this is concerning the first beast of Revelation chapter 13. Revelation 13 has two beasts, and this is the beast out of the sea that we're speaking in reference to. The beast out of the sea is spoken of in verses 1 to 10, and the beast out of the earth is spoken of in verses 11 through 18. Now, this is what it says concerning the beast out of the sea. And that beast is none other than a reference to the papacy, the Roman Catholic Church system. It says, and he was given a mouth, verse 5, speaking great things and blasphemies. That word and there can even be translated even. So, and he was given a mouth speaking great things, even blasphemies. Daniel also speaks of this, Daniel chapter 7. And he was given authority to continue doing that work of speaking blasphemy for 42 months. And you remember, friends, according to the Bible, in the books of Numbers chapter 14, verse 34, and also the book of Ezekiel chapter 4 and verse 6, a day in Bible prophecy is a year. And in every Jewish calendar, in this time, John's time as well as Daniel's day, each month had 30 days. So a month was equivalent to 30 days even. And so as this happened, 42 months then would be 42 multiplied by 30, which would give us 1,260 days. But you remember, a day in Bible prophecy, which is what we're looking at, represents a year. So 1,260 days would be equivalent to 1,260 years. 1,260 days would be equivalent to 1,260 years. So 42 multiplied by 30 equals 1,260 days. 1,260 days is equivalent to 1,260 years. So, and the papacy was given a mouth, speaking great things, even blasphemies. And he was allowed or given the authority, the power to continue doing so for 1,260 years. And friends, historically, that spanned from the time that the last barbarian tribe that stood in the way of papal supremacy was taken out, was wiped out. That was the Ostrogoths. That year, when their power was finally wiped out, and before that, the power of the Heruli and the Vandals were wiped out. When these three barbaric tribes were wiped out, it left room for the papacy to rise to papal domination, papal supremacy. And that year, when the Ostrogoths finally lost their power, was the year 538 AD. So starting from the year 538 AD, we count off 1,260 years. And friends, you get to 1798. 538 to 1798, the papacy was given power to speak, authority to speak, blasphemy. And it says there, in verse 6, then he opened his mouth. And what did he do in blasphemy? What things did he blaspheme? It says, then he opened his mouth in blasphemy. One, against God. Two, or one against God, to blaspheme his name. Two, to blaspheme his tabernacle. And three, those who dwell in heaven. So the three things that are connected to God that the papacy blasphemed during the 1,260 years was God's name, that is his character, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. Now, this is so powerful because we're going to see what this points to. What does this mean? One of the things that it points to, it says in the book of James chapter 2 and verse 6. You remember, in the Bible, a person's name represents their character. When Jacob was born, he was given the name Jacob because he grabbed his brother Esau's heel. He was known as a heel grabber. In another context, that word heel grabber can actually mean deceiver, one who bites at the heel. And so this is what Jacob was for the majority of his life until he wrestled with that angel in just before he met his brother Esau again, after the situation of deception between his father and him, and taking the birthright, which was going to be given to him, but he could not wait and depend on God for this, and him and his mother. So as time went along, he had to flee because his brother wanted to kill him. But by the next time he met his brother, just before meeting his brother, the Bible tells us that Jacob wrestled with the angel. And as he wrestled with the angel, he was asked, what is thy name? He said, my name is Jacob. And it was at that moment in that wrestling situation that the angel changed Jacob's name from Jacob to Israel, one who has prevailed with God, basically prevailed with him in a spiritual sense in prayer, because God granted Jacob his request of blessing, and he protected Jacob against Esau. And so there was no battle between Jacob and Esau by the time Jacob met Esau. And so friends, the name change of name represented what? A change of character. It was the same thing in the book of Matthew when Jesus was given his name. It says his name shall be called Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. In other words, Jesus' name, which is the Greek form of the Hebrew word Joshua, actually means Jehovah is salvation. And this is why Christ came. It was his mission to save us. So in the Bible, a person's name represents their character and mission. So for the papacy to blaspheme God's name, it would mean to blaspheme God's character and mission. And how did the papacy do that? By doing the act of blasphemy, which is claiming the very prerogatives of God. James chapter 2 and verse 6 says, do rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which you are called? In Biblical Research Institute, volume 2 of an article that they wrote, this is Seventh-day Adventist article, it says, at the 50 Lateran Council in 1512, just before the Reformation began, Christopher Marcellus addressed Pope Julius II, and this is what he said of Pope Julius II. Thou art the shepherd, thou art the physician, thou art the governor, thou art the husbandman. Finally, thou art another God on earth. Friends, this is what was said of the Pope. Now, why is that so bad? Because you remember, according to two passages, one passage can be found in the book of John chapter 10 and verses 30 to 33. It actually tells us there one of the definitions of blasphemy. If you would go there with me, John chapter 10 verses 30 through 33. It states there in John chapter 10 verses 30 to 33 the following. It says, I, Jesus says, and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which one of these works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, makest thyself God. So what we're seeing here, according to the Bible, is that one of the definitions of blasphemy is for one to claim equality with God. And this is the very title that was given to Pope Julius II in the 50 Lateran Council in 1512 by Christopher Marcellus. How did he address the Pope? Thou art the shepherd. By the way, this is in caps. The word S there for shepherd, the letter S there for shepherd is in caps. Thou art the physician. The word, the letter P at the beginning of the word physician is in caps. Thou art the governor. The letter G in the beginning of governor is in caps. Thou art the husbandman. The H in husbandman is in caps. And then to climax the whole statement, finally, thou art another God on earth. This was what was stated concerning the Pope of Rome. And I want to give you the exact reference for that as it was recorded, as it was a historical statement that was recorded. This is found, give me one second, in Symposium Biblical Research. It was put out by the Biblical Research Institute, Record of History, Symposium on Revelation, Book 2, by the Biblical Research Institute of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. So this was a statement, Volume 2, of the Symposium on Revelation, Book 2. So as we look at this, this was one of the historical things that were marked down. Now the other statement is coming from, I'm going to give you this next statement so you can look it up as well. This is coming from the Great Prophecies of Daniel and Revelation, written by Harold E. Metcalf. The Great Prophecies of Daniel and Revelation, written by Harold E. Metcalf. And this is what it states on page 121. The following extracts from Ferrari's Ecclesiastical Dictionary, which is Roman Catholic in nature, an article on the Pope shows clearly that the authority and position given the Pope is blasphemy against God. Now listen to what it says here. The Pope, in quote, is of so great dignity and so exalted that he is not a mere man, but as it were, God and the vicar of God. The Pope is of such a lofty and supreme dignity that, properly speaking, he has not been established in any rank of dignity. Why? Because rather he has been placed upon the very summit of all ranks of dignities. Do you see that? He's the highest of the highest. The Pope is, as it were, God on earth, sole sovereign of the faithful of Christ, chief king of kings, having plenitude of power, to whom has been entrusted by the omnipotent God direction not only of the earthly, but also of the heavenly kingdom. The Pope is of so great authority and power that, here it is, he can modify, explain, or interpret even divine laws. So that's serious. Now, friends, we are allowed to seek to explain and to interpret divine laws, but to modify it is not our place. It is not given to any human. Once God's word has been spoken, once God's law has been given, divine laws have been given, they are to be understood. Therefore, they must be explained. And there must be an aspect of interpretation for us to truly understand them. But we cannot modify divine laws. This was given. This power was given to the Pope. And so, as we're reading this now, one of the next definitions of blasphemy as it concerns claiming the prerogatives of God is not only to claim equality with God, but you find it in the story found in Luke chapter 5, verses 17 through 26, the story of the man who was paralyzed. His friends bore him to Jesus, broke up Peter's roof, and lowered him down before Jesus Christ as he was giving a discourse. And as this happened, friends, you remember what Jesus said to him. Jesus says, "Son, be of good cheer, thy sins are forgiven thee." And you remember what the Pharisees and the doctors of the law said at that moment within themselves. It says, "Who is this that commits blasphemy?" Now, friends, for Christ to say, "I and my Father are one," meaning claiming equality with God, it was his right, because he is equal with the Father. And for Christ to forgive man's sins, it was his right, because he is God, he's divine. But friends, if anybody else were to claim equality with God or claim to have the prerogative to forgive sins, it would be blasphemy. And so this is what we're seeing here. Now, this is taken, the next statement I'm going to read to you is taken from Studies in Revelation, written by Walter E. Straw Sr. Walter E. Straw Sr. in the book Studies in Revelation. And this is on page 83. Jesus said he would send the Holy Spirit as his representative or vicar, right? So the Holy Spirit is truly the one who comes in the place of Jesus Christ, equal with Jesus Christ. Jesus said he would send the Holy Spirit as his representative or vicar, meaning to take his place after he left the earth, John 14:26. So the Roman Catholic Church says the Pope is Christ's vicar. Here we have a man taking to himself prerogatives which belong to God. That's blasphemy. All right? Daniel 7:25 states it this way. It shows us that this power, that is the papacy, would claim to be able to change the law of God. And that's what we found out, right? That this power would claim to be able to modify God's laws, right? That's what Daniel 7:25 tells us, and I'll read that in our hearing. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 25 states concerning the papal system a powerful revelation. It says there, "He, the papacy, shall speak pompous words," that is the same as blasphemy, "great things, pompous words against the Most High, and shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall think to change times and laws." So what we have here is that the papacy would seek to interfere with the laws of God. Now that's as it concerns blasphemy against God's name, against his character, right? So he would seek, the papacy by seeking equality with God will cause men to look to it, but as it looks, as men and women and children look to the papacy and the Pope as taking the place of Christ, this entire system would be a system of deception, right? Because what it would do is it would call men to look away, we're going to see, from Jesus Christ to the priest on earth for forgiveness of sins as one who is equal, and the Pope as one who is equal with God. And as a result of human tradition combined with the Bible, what would happen is that God's character would not be seen as it truly is. It would be misconstrued, misunderstood. So this is why as people looked to God during the Dark Ages, they saw one who was tyrannical, one who desired their destruction, one who wasn't trying to save them. That's what they would see, a God who was dictatorial in nature, because that's what the popes and the priests were to the people. So they, in seeking to reflect God, gave a wrong view of Jehovah. Hence, his character was not seen as it should be. And hence, people hated God, because the view that they had of God was not according to the scriptures alone, but according to the scripture and human tradition combined. This was the need. This is why the Reformation was needed, to bring into men's hands of the word of God, that they may understand that word for themselves. Now, what about, as it says here, blaspheming God's tabernacle? And this is taken from Volume 7 of the Seventh-day Adventist Bible Commentary, page 818. In quote, this is the second object of his blasphemy. This power presumes, that is the papacy, presumes to set up his temple on earth and thus draws the attention of the people away from the sanctuary in heaven. The true tabernacle, that is, where Jesus ministers as high priest, according to Hebrews chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. But this power seeks to cast down the work of the sanctuary. The heavenly ministry of the sacrifice of Christ is discounted, and the sacrifice of the Mass on earth is substituted. So in place of looking to heaven, to where Jesus is, the papal system sets up a counterfeit system, a counterfeit sanctuary on earth. And this is what we read. This is not what we read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. This is what it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Very powerful statement. It says here, speaking of the papal system, Paul states, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, that is the coming of Jesus Christ, shall not come, except there come a falling away first." And friends, that falling away historically is speaking about the time when church leaders, just 4 centuries after Paul, would begin to fall away in order to unite with Rome. And as church leaders began to unite with Rome, it laid the stages for the Roman Catholic Church system to be set up. So Paul says the second coming of Christ is not going to happen until this falling away comes first. That is, that leaders and people would fall away to join the pagan Roman Empire. And as the pagan Roman Empire gives its civil power to church leaders who had compromised, this would cause many others to fall away with these church leaders, and it would result in the formation of a church rather than relying on the power of the Holy Spirit to win souls. They would rely on the power of the state in order to coerce men and women and children to follow in a way that was opposite towards the word. And what do you have when people are going from the word to being against the word? You have apostasy. It's a falling away. And so Paul says, until this falling away happens, Christ is not coming. This falling away must happen first. And so it happened during just a few centuries after Paul had written this statement, this mammoth system of deception was rising. So he says, for that day shall not come, the second coming, except there come a falling away first. And here it is, that man of sin you revealed, speaking of the Roman Catholic Church system, the son of perdition, who opposes and also exalts himself. So he opposes and exalts himself above all that is
called God.
Exactly, right? So all that is called God or that is worshipped. And now look at what he does. Check this out. This is now in connection with Revelation 13:6. And what does he do in turn? So that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So you see that? So this is what we're seeing here. We're seeing that Satan would set up a system that is composed of those who should have followed God, should have been his people. The papacy rises up and sets up a system of deception in the midst of the very place where the church of God should have been. And this is what happens, friends, because you remember what the temple of God is, right? The temple of God is his people, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, and also 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Know ye not that you are the temple, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So the papacy would come and set itself up in the midst of Christendom and deceive the nations of Europe and far beyond by setting up a false temple system. And what are they trying to do? What is the devil trying to do, I should say, through this system? To turn people away from the temple system that exists in heaven, where Jesus Christ reigns as high priest, where he is the only mediator between God and man. No cardinals, no bishops, no priests, but one, Jesus Christ. He, as the Son of God, was to be looked upon. And where can we find him? In the sanctuary above. So this is why the holy place ministry of Christ was eclipsed during the time of the Dark Ages. Because, and the sanctuary, the holy place ministry of Christ, Christ himself as he truly is, God's character were all eclipsed. Why? Because a mammoth system of deception set up a temple system on earth that would cause people to turn away from the very thing that was going on in heaven. Friends, this is so powerful. The reason that this is so powerful is because in every stage of Christ's ministry, if we're looking at it from the perspective of the sanctuary, the devil has always raised up people or systems to eclipse the work that he was trying to do. And only those who sought to study the Word of God were able to see the deception. In the days of the time of Christ on earth, when he was doing his courtyard ministry, right? You remember in the courtyard of the sanctuary, there was the laver of washing and there was the altar of burnt offering. The altar of burnt offering was the place where the lamb was sacrificed. They would bring their offering. The people would bring their offering and they would give it. They would sacrifice it and it was burned upon the altar by the priest, symbolizing that the Lamb of God would one day be slain for our sins. So those sacrifices upon the altar of sacrifice represented Christ. And so we're seeing here, where did Christ die, Oliver? He died on earth. So the courtyard is showing us, it's a symbol of the earthly ministry of Christ. Where was Christ baptized? Symbolized in the laver of washing, a purification rite that the priest did before they offered the sacrifice, and after and before they went into the holy place, the priest would do it two times, before and after they gave the sacrifice that the people brought from the altar of burnt offering. They would purify themselves. And you remember, just before Jesus offered himself a sacrifice for us, what did he do? He went through the purification ceremony of baptism. So those two things in the courtyard were done on earth by Jesus. It was a symbol of his earthly ministry. Friends, did God use people? Did God use apostate religion to actually deceive and eclipse people, eclipse the minds of men concerning the earthly ministry of Christ? For sure. He used the Sanhedrin. He used the leaders of the nation to lead the people astray. That's why, as we read in the Spirit of Prophecy in books like The Great Controversy and other books, we read that that the very spirit that actuated popes and cardinals and priests were the very spirit that actuated the Pharisees. It was a pharisaical spirit. It continued even into Jesus' holy place ministry. So just as the Pharisees darkened the minds, sought to darken the minds of the people and turn them away from Jesus' earthly work, his earthly ministry, the courtyard work he was doing, in the same way during the Dark Ages, the devil set up another system, this time not the Sanhedrin, but he set up another temple system on earth, the papal system, with its ceremonies and rites and traditions mingled with the word of God, to deceive the minds of men again with that pharisaical spirit that they would not look to the Lamb of God in heaven. This is why men like Martin Luther, Ulrich Zwingli, this is why later on men like John Calvin had to rise up. God raised them up to give a message that would point people away from popes and cardinals and priests to the one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, as Scripture tells us. The only way that they can look to him is that it would cause them to look to him where he is. But many times the doctrine of the sanctuary was so eclipsed. But this is why you may hear of Jesus standing at the right hand of God during the Dark Ages from the Reformers, but you would hardly hear of this concept, this connected system of the sanctuary, and Jesus being specifically in the holy place. Why? Because the papacy had caused men's minds to become so dark that they had no cognition of the reality of a literal sanctuary. This is why after 1798, God had to begin raising up a system that would restore the doctrine of the sanctuary. That is the Seventh-day Adventist movement. I'll read two last statements before we end concerning this blaspheming his tabernacle. James White wrote this in his book, Bible Adventism, on page 134. He writes, in quote, "It," speaking of the papacy, "has trodden underfoot and blasphemed God's sanctuary or tabernacle by calling its own sanctuary the temple of God." And you remember, this is what happens. This is what happened during the Dark Ages. This is why things like indulgences and penance were done. It was to take the money that was gained from people that were poor and rich, to take their money and build basilicas, temples, these edifices of deception all over Rome, including the center of the Roman Empire itself. And so as these things were built up, they were building up a system, a temple system, and basically edifices representing that temple system all over Europe. And so as this was happening, this is how the papacy was able to trod underfoot God's sanctuary or tabernacle. And as he did this, he was also turning people away from the worship that they were supposed to render to God. So James White states, "It has trodden underfoot and blasphemed God's sanctuary or tabernacle by calling its own sanctuary the temple of God, and by turning away the worship of them that dwell on the earth from the temple of God in heaven to the sanctuary of Satan in Rome." And then, lastly, another blasphemous thing this power has done is the taking away of the priesthood of Christ in the heavenly sanctuary, and in his place has instituted a counterfeit and mediatorial system in which the priest is the mediator between God and man. This is assuming prerogatives belonging only to Christ. So this was written by Harold E. Metcalf. Okay, Great Prophecies of Daniel and Revelation, page 120. So friends, I pray that this makes sense, because As we will continue studying, we will see that the papacy has sought to eclipse the ministry, and not just the papacy now, but after 1798, a new system would also arise to work with the papal system to eclipse the minds of men concerning Christ's work, not now in the holy place, but in the most holy place, so that people will not realize that an investigated judgment is transpiring right now. And so as we continue next time, we'll cover the section that the section of Revelation 13, verse 6, that covers blaspheming them that dwell in heaven. And so we'll see some very interesting things as we continue to study. But I pray that this made sense. I pray for us today that we will live in harmony with God's character, that we will not join a system or anyone that blasphemes that character, but that we, as standing among God's people, will reveal his character as it truly is, the character of love, and that we will also work in harmony with the Holy Spirit, point men to the temple of God in heaven, to Jesus as the only true mediator between God and man, that as they look to him, they might truly receive forgiveness of sin freely and a changed heart and life as a result. With that, let's have a word of prayer as we close. Father in heaven, I pray that these things make sense, and I pray that you will ever draw us closer to you, that we might live for you and not ourselves. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Akeem, for this message. And brothers and sisters, I'm really hoping that you understand what he just said, because none other than the Roman Catholic Church, the system is what our brother is saying. And if you have any question, get in touch with Sister Leola, because this system is one to lead men, and they want to deceive you and lead you astray. This system is going to cause a lot of people to be led astray and worship that papacy. So by God's grace, as Brother O'Neill just read to us earlier, who will have all men to be saved? And I read to you in verse 5, it says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, and that man is Christ. So when Brother Akeem relating this to us, we got to know that Christ is the mediator. He is the one to go to, and God, you go to your Father, but in the name of Christ, God and him, and we are not to do that, because And that's why God is giving ministers, pastors, teachers to help us understand. But God wants you to read for yourself, and that he is the teacher by God's grace that we are to study. But if you have need of better understanding, please contact Sister Leola or someone that can help you understand, because there's many out there that's leading people astray with that teaching. Amen. So brothers and sisters, we want to thank you tonight for listening and for coming on to share. And we want to thank all of the overseas, out of the country, and all over the United States that join in to listen to Advent Light Ministry. We want to thank you. And we ask that you come on. We have 3 times a week. We have it on Thursday night and Friday night. And by God's grace, you can at the same time you come on tonight. So by God's grace, I pray that God bless each and every one. He keep you and protect you while we sleep tonight. And may God bless all. Amen. Thank you for joining. And y'all have a blessed night. Amen. And thank you, Brother Akeem, for bringing us the word. God bless you, everyone. Yeah. Song. Amen.
Immortal, invisible God, only wise, in life, in answer. Jesus.